Vayehu chayei sara mea shana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim shnei chayei sara. Sarah's lifetime was 100 years, 20 years, and 7 years, the years of Sarah's life.
Hello, I hope I haven't kept you waiting. Come right over. Chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your editor, Phil Chernofsky, and this edition is for Parshat Chayei Sarah. Recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the 23rd day of Mar Cheshvan, 5773, corresponding to November 8th. This Shabbat is not only Chayei Sarah, it is also Shabbat Mevorachim Chodesh Kislev. We announce and bless the coming month of Kislev, which will be next Thursday, the 15th of November. That will be the first day of Kislev. Got that? Okay. I think, without further delay, we will get to Tehillim Kuf Lamed Psalm 130. Shir ha-ma'alot mima'amakim karaticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli, tihyena aznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Imavonot tishmorya Adonai mia'amod, ki imacha hasalicha l'ma'an tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim la'boker, shomerim la'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifde et Yisrael mikol avonotav. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha-omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha. Hamakom yirachem aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara lirvacha, umeyafela l'ora, umishibud l'geula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, v'nomar Amen. On a personal note, 1 year ago tomorrow, the 24th of Mar Cheshvan, my youngest grandson was born. He is Roi Yisrael. His big brother is Elad Zamir. His parents are Ora and Noam. And we wish Roi a happy first birthday and nachas from and to the whole family. Commentaries, of course, ask about the name Chayei Sarah, the life of Sarah, when it's about her passing and burial and eulogies from her husband Avraham. But one of the lessons to be learned is that a righteous person who lived a full and fulfilling life is alive and continues to be alive even after they leave this world. And it's sort of like tzadikim bemotam kruim chayim or something like that. Righteous people, even in death, are considered alive, in contrast to wicked people who even during their lifetime are considered dead. The Torah in this parsha starts with telling us that Sarah Imenu died at the age of 127. And commentaries note that this record of her death, or the aftermath of her death, follows immediately upon the heels of Akedat Yitzchak, the offering of Isaac, the binding of Isaac, from the end of Parshat Vayera. And they make the following point, based on Midrashic sources, that when Avraham took Yitzchak to go to the Akedah, Sarah was told by the Satan, or however you want to understand that, what was happening. and she had a heart attack, let's say, from the shock, and died as a result of hearing about the Akedah. I don't remember where I saw it, but I put it into Torah Tidbits again, a source that has a nice twist to that, that Sarah died in shock when she heard that Avraham was returning with Yitzchak, not that he was taking Yitzchak to offer him. And the logic and the reasoning goes as follows. Sarah Imenu knew how compassionate a person Avraham was. She saw it earlier when she told him or asked him to send Yishmael and his mother Hagar away. Avraham didn't want to do that, even if it was causing a bad influence on Yitzchak. God had to say to Avraham, whatever she tells you, do it. And as a result, Avraham sent Yishmael and Hagar away. Sarah knew what had to be done. We're talking about had to be done on a personal level, on a future national level, on a spiritual level. And love and compassion could not be allowed to override the necessity of what was to be done. And here was a case where God says to Avraham, take your only son, your favorite, your beloved Yitzchak, and bring him as an offering on Har HaMoriah. Sarah heard about that or knew about that and was afraid that Avraham would not be able to go through with it. And that would be a serious failure, even though it would save her son, Yitzchak. And here she is, looking out the window, so to speak, and here comes Avraham, but he's not alone, he's with Yitzchak. And her thought, according to this commentary, was he failed his test of faith. He couldn't go through with it. She didn't have time to hear that God sent an angel to stop Avraham from killing Yitzchak, because she died of the shock and disappointment that perhaps her husband had failed the test. It's the opposite side of the same coin, but it's a poignant kind of twist. Sarah dies in Kiryat Arba, which is Hebron in Eretz Canaan, and Avraham comes to eulogize Sarah and to cry for her. And after that process, he approaches the local people, B'nai Chait, and he asks for a burial place for Sarah. And he asks specifically for the cave of Machpelah and its field, and he asks it from one of the Hittites, Ephron, Hachiti, who first magnanimously offers to give it to Avraham for free, and Avraham says, thank you for your offer, but I want to pay full amount, and 400 silver talents pass hands, and Avraham acquires by purchase the first Jewish property, so to speak, in the land of Israel. Ma'arat HaMachpelah, where tradition says Adam and Chava are buried, is now the burial place of Sarah, then of Avraham Avinu, subsequently Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, and till this day we have a Ma'arat HaMachpelah, currently and hopefully forever, in our hands, in Hebron. After the purchase, Avraham buries Sarah, and that period of his life is closed. He has one further task, and that is what the bulk of the Seder of Chaye Sarah deals with, and that is finding a suitable wife for Yitzchak. That sounds like a good spot for a musical interlude, so I think I will accommodate. I've always wanted Torah Tidbits audio to contain music in addition to my talking. There are many, many sessions, many weeks that I just keep going the whole 23 minutes one side, 23 minutes the other side, half and half. And I have plenty to say. I'm not stalling for time. I really would like to maintain or to return to the format of music as well as words. And on my way to the center this morning, I stopped at a music shop in Geula and found an album on a bargain table, and I bought it, and I brought it, and I listened to it, and I like the beat, and I like the music. And I think in honor of the shidduch between Yitzhak Avinu and Rivka Imenu, we will play a wedding song, Yassis, third track on the album, of Sandy Shmueli. The name of the album is Ki Tov, which is the first track. We'll play it some other time. For now, Sandy Shmueli with Yassis.
Yassis alayich erokayich, kibsus chatan al kala. Yassis alayich erokayich, kibsus chatan al kala. Al kala. Odi shama ve'ar Yehuda, u'mechuzot Yerushalayim. Kol sason ve'kol simcha.
Simplify, and maybe not do too much justice to Yitzhak Avinu. I have always seen Avraham Avinu as the founder of Judaism, the rediscoverer of belief in one God, and Yitzchak's role was not so much as an innovator, as Avraham was, but Yitzchak is the second very, very important link in the chain of tradition. No matter how great Avraham Avinu was, it is nothing to us unless there is an unbroken chain that begins with him and continues through us and beyond, and that every link in that chain is strong. But that second link, the link to Avraham Avinu, has to be extremely solid. And in order for that link to be solid, it is not enough to have a Yitzchak Avinu. We need a Rivka Imenu. And that's what Chaye Sara introduces us to. Avraham calls his faithful servant Eliezer. Side point, maybe not a side point, the name Eliezer, who is the main character, shall we say, in Parshat Chaye Sara, does not show up once. Nowhere in Parshat Chaye Sara do we hear the name Eliezer. What we hear is Eved Avraham, Ha-Eved, the servant of Abraham, the servant. We also find Ish, Ha-Ish, the man. And it's interesting to see whenever Ha-Ish is used and whenever Ha-Eved is used, because when Eliezer is referring to himself, he sees himself as Avraham's servant. When other people are relating to him, be it Betuel or Lavan or even Rivka, up to a certain point, he is not the Eved, he is the man, Ha-Ish. And at the very end, skipping ahead of that part of the story, we find an interesting verse which shows us the transition or the dual identity, let's say that better, of Eved and Ish, where Rivka agrees to go with him, which means she accepts the shidduch between herself and Yitzchak. So the Torah tells us, Vatokam Rivka v'na'aroteha, Rivka and her entourage of maidens arise, Vatirkavna al hagmalim, and they get on the camels, Vatelachna acharei ha'ish, and they follow the man. Once that happens, the Torah continues, Vayikach ha'eved, the servant takes Rivka and goes. Because now he is not only the servant of Avraham and of Yitzchak, but Rivka, soon to be married into that family, has already agreed to that, and he is the Eved. Okay, but back. So Avraham administers an oath. He explains that Yitzchak may not leave the land of Canaan because of the extra sanctity he picked up on the altar on Har HaMoriah during the Akedah. And God has told or will tell him also that he can't leave the land. And the other complication is that he's not to marry any of the local women. So Avraham sends Eliezer back to his hometown to find a suitable bride for his son Yitzchak. Eliezer goes with camels laden with gifts, and he arrives at the well, the spring, or both, towards evening when the young girls of the community are coming out to draw water. I'm going to editorialize, but the psukim seem to say Eliezer scratched his head and said, I have no idea what I'm doing. I know I made a promise, and I don't know, and he turns to God and says, God, give me a sign. I will ask for a little bit of water. The girl who offers me to drink and to water my camels, that will be the one that you have sent for Yitzchak. Now, this is a risky thing, because he's asking for a divine sign. We're not supposed to ask for divine signs. We're not supposed to rely on divine signs. And some criticize Eliezer for what he did. In fact, the Mishnah says that there were three different people who made requests of God improperly, but were answered favorably anyway, and one of them was Eliezer. The other side of that coin is, he was not choosing some kind of flimsy and flippant sign. He was conducting a test of chesed, kindness, where some girls could have said to him, I am too busy, sorry, go get your own drink. And certainly, I can't water your camels. Camels drink a lot, it's a lot of work, and I have my own things to take care of. So, it's a decent test, which he is putting the girls to. The issue of whether he asked properly or not can be argued, but that's what he did, and sure enough, before he was even finished talking with God, so to speak, Rivka comes out with her water container on her shoulder, and he asks for some water, and she gives him water, and she draws for the camels, and commentaries say that he witnessed miracles, that the water rose towards her, and he was thrilled and delighted, and he thanked God. He gives this girl gifts, and then realizes he doesn't even know who she is. So he asks, and when she finds out, he finds out that she's from the family of Avraham Avinu, he knows for sure that his prayer slash request of God has been answered, and he thanks God once again, prostrating himself and saying, Baruch Hashem. We'll be back with the second half of Torah Tidbits audio in a moment. You are listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Chaye Sarah. I know that beginning was kind of weird, but it was only a little over 3 seconds. I went and I wanted to find something related to time travel because of the comment in Rashi, I think it's Rashi, about Kfitzat HaDerech, the fact that Eliezer was miraculously speeded on his journey to find Rivka by having what would have been a much longer journey with all of those camels condense into a much shorter period of time. So that reminded me of time travel, and I went to sound effects for time travel, and what you heard at the beginning of this half of the show was related to that. I will not tell you what was the beginning of the first half of the show, but I suspect that several listeners will figure it out, and it is definitely sort of connected to the theme in the Seder. But let's continue. So Eliezer gets the right girl, whether he asked properly or not, we won't discuss further. But he thanks God repeatedly, and Lavan, the brother of Rivka and an opportunist and a conniver, sees the baubles that Eliezer had given Rivka and sees the load on the camels and says, my friend, where have you been? Sure, we have room for you at your home, at our home, and we'll take you in and come and stay with us. And Eliezer thanks God again. Then there's a scene which is described by Eliezer describing what has happened. And I don't know if I made myself clear on that. When Eliezer meets Rivka's family, he tells over the story of his master sending him and taking the camels and going to the well and asking God and saying this and getting to drink. And he just goes through the whole thing again. And commentaries obviously make a note of that as well. And some simply say that the conversations of the Avot, including their servants, is very precious to God. But we also learn, I think, a message of how very serious this issue of finding a suitable bride is in general, and specifically in the case of Yitzchak Avinu, who was being sheltered in Avraham's shadow, we'll say, and needed to be done this way. Okay. There are commentaries who explain that Lavan attempted to poison Eliezer and steal all of his possessions, and instead Eliezer refused to eat. Betuel, Lavan's father, Rivka's father, did eat from the poison food and he died, and that's why we see him only in the beginning of the conversations but not in the negotiation for Rivka. There, Lavan takes the lead, and all kind of nasty things can be said about Lavan, and he bears that out in coming week's Torah readings. Finally, Eliezer is about to take his leave, and the family wants Rivka to stay with them, and he wants her to come with him right away, and he says, let's ask, or they say, let's ask the girl, and they ask, and Rivka agrees to go right away. And she goes, and that link that I described before is now formed with the union of Yitzchak and Rivka. Commentaries speak about how she took over the role of Sarah Imenu, and that's very important for that same kind of idea of continuity of the chain of tradition. And I heard a number of years ago from Rabbi Sholem Gold a very nice shiur with an explanation as to how a Rivka, Imenu, can grow up in the house with a Lavan, surrounded by idol-worshipping culture, and come out the way she did so quickly. The answer that he gave was Rivka's nursemaid, Devorah. We don't find her name until she passes away in a couple of sedras, but we do find reference to her here, and Rabbi Gold suggests that this Devorah was one of the people that Avraham and Sarah had influenced back before they came to Eretz Yisrael, and they left her in place exactly for the purpose of raising and training a suitable mate for Yitzchak. A lot of this is actual planning, and it's mixed with prophetic or divinely inspired actions, and I don't want to, you know, spend a lot of time trying to analyze that because it would only be speculation. But as long as I mention the word, I do speculate that there is a tremendous amount of siyata dishmaya, help from heaven, God's hand in things. But we see the combination that is a very important combination of human effort and prayer to God that things go well and succeed. We can't do everything on our own. We don't have any guarantee of success. But we can't leave everything to miracle and to God. We need to do what I've spoken about in the past, hishtadlus. Hishtadlus is human effort towards a good goal with the hope and the prayer that God will help us along. And I think to learn something like that from Eliezer Eved Avraham, Vayomer Baruch Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham Asher Lo Azav Chasdo Va'amito Me'im Adoni. He says, blessed is God, the God of my master Avraham, who did not abandon his kindness, did not withhold his kindness to my master, from my master. And that's should be our attitude. We should work hard towards a goal, but always say, Baruch Hashem, thank you, God, for helping me, because I can't do this myself. And I know that you don't want to do it yourself either. You want my involvement. Okay, full disclosure. When I am confronted with a lot of CDs at 10 shekel apiece, I can't really just eat one. So I also bought an album by Rafael Chaim Miller. That's the name of the album. I don't see a name for it. Oh, I look kind of Shoma, maybe. Anyway, its first song happens to be Asher Bara, which is also a wedding song. And in honor of the wedding of Yitzchak and Rivka, as well as that of Avraham and Keturah, who commentaries tell us was Hagar, whom Avraham remarried after everything else was taken care of, and when he became what I refer to as a private citizen. So we've got two marriages to celebrate from this Sedra. Certainly the first one of Yitzchak and Rivka have greater significance to us, but we'll play a track, Rafael Chaim Miller, Asher Bara, or Asher Bara.
אשר בורו ששוין ושמחו, ששוין ושמחו, חסון וחלום. אשר בורו ששוין ושמחו, ששוין ושמחו, חסון וחלום. גילורי ינו תיצום, תיצום וחטו. אהבו אהבו ואהבו, ושולמים ברעיוס. גילורי ינו תיצום, תיצום וחטו. Shalim Reheyo
Ashevara Sosayim Besimcha Sosayim Besimcha Chazon Bechalo Ashevara Sosayim Besimcha Sosayim Besimcha Chazon Bechalo
Hilari Yino Dito Shalom v'reheyos
Hilari hino titzo Titzo v'chego
Hai Avo, avo v'yavo
V'sholim v'reheyos
Asher boro sosoin v'simcho Sosoin v'simcho חסון וחלום עד שבורו ססוין ושמחו ססוין ושמחו חסון וחלום גילורי ינו תיצור תיצור וחדבו אהבו אהבו ביחום ושולים ורעיוס גילורי ינו תיצור תיצור וחדבו
Changing gears now. Right before Eliezer with Rivka and Entourage, approach where Yitzchak is. The Torah tells us, Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot arev. Yitzchak went out into the field to supplicate, that's the Art Scroll Stone Chumash translation, to commune towards evening. And then he raised his eyes and he saw, and behold, camels were coming. But the Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot erev is one of a pair of psukim that are used by the Gemara in the statement Tfilot keneged avot tiknum. Our davening corresponds to the forefathers. Let's go back a step. Masechet Brachot, fourth chapter, discusses two different approaches towards our daily prayer. One that says our prayer is constructed to parallel and match temple service. There were two daily sacrifices, one in the morning, corresponding to which we have Tfilat Shacharit, and one in the afternoon, corresponding to which we have Tfilat Mincha. Then parts of the day's korbanot are left on the altar all night to simmer, and corresponding to that we have Arvit or Ma'ariv, as it is alternately called. Davening three times a day, Keneged Korbanot, corresponding to the offerings in the temple. And that fits well with Musaf, the additional prayer on Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh and Chagim, because on those days there were additional sacrifices as well, known as Korbanot, Musaf. The other approach from the Gemara is Tfilot Keneged Avot Tiknum, that the davenings and their timings and frequency correspond to our patriarchs. Avraham prayed in the morning, and therefore we have Shacharit in the morning. Yitzchak in the afternoon, and therefore we have Mincha in the afternoon. And Yaakov Avinu at night, and therefore we have Arvit or Ma'ariv at night. In supporting this notion, the Gemara gives a pair of verses for each. In the case of Avraham, the Torah says that Yaakov got up early in the morning, El HaMakom Asher Amad Shom Lifnei Hashem or Elokim, that Avraham got up early in the morning and stood in the place where he had spoken with God, and to stand, La'amod, Amida, is equated or is synonymous with prayer. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk elsewhere in Tanakh that shows that standing and praying are two sides of the same coin. Here, from Parshat Chayei Sarah, we have, and Yitzchak went out into the field, lasuach, to supplicate or to commune, lifnot erev, before evening, and the word sicha, which is related to the word lasuach, the word sicha means tefillah, and the Gemara quotes another verse to support that idea. Similarly with Yaakov, we have Vayifga b'makom vayolen shom kivo ha-shemesh. Yaakov Vayifga encountered the place, and it was nighttime, so he slept there. But the Gemara says pigia, to encounter, is another synonym for prayer. Let's now focus in on this one, meaning Mincha, Yitzchak, late afternoon towards evening, from Parshat Chayei Sarah. Shacharit and Arvit are the two davenings. I said I was going to focus on Mincha, but I am. Shacharit and Arvit are the two davenings to which our sages attached Kriyat Shema and its brachot. And therefore, Shacharit is quite long, Arvit is not as long, but they're each longer than Mincha. Mincha is an Amidah almost by itself. It's preceded by Ashrei, followed by Aleinu, Tachanun on most days, stuck in right before Aleinu, and that's it. It's a short, relatively short prayer. We're talking 10 for very fast davening, to 15 minutes, to 20 for people who take their time with a minyan. And privately, you could do it even shorter. It's a short davening, but it's in the middle of the day. Shacharit is part of a person's morning ritual. And Ma'ariv is part of a person's evening ritual. Mincha requires paying attention to the clock and to say, which I will say now, because I already davened, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's a 4:15 in the afternoon. That's not when you're listening to this necessarily, but it is necessarily when I am saying these words. Actually, 4:14 on my clock here. And Shkia, sunset, is somewhere like 4:45, close to it. Tell you exactly. Shkia yesterday was 4:49 and a half. And in the course of a 11-day period, it goes to 4:43, which means 4:45 is not a bad idea. So I look at my watch and I say it's 4:15, and I haven't davened mincha yet. I haven't davened mincha yet, and I gotta make sure I daven. So if there's a minyan, fine, and if there's no minyan, I have to daven on my own, but I have to be aware of an obligation to daven mincha as an interruption of my working day. And therefore, there are sources that speak of a special reward that a Jew has for taking the care and time to daven mincha. More so than Shacharit, even though Shacharit is much longer prayer, but it means you get up in the morning, and you get dressed, and you go to shul, and you daven Shacharit, and Ma'ariv, you can have and find minyanim to daven in after you finish work, no matter when. There are places that are minyan factories, where you will find Ma'ariv all night long, anytime you need it. Not all over, but there are a few places like that around Israel, mostly in Yerushalayim and Bnei Brak. That's not the point. The point is Mincha is that special tefillah which flies by sometimes, especially during the winter, and therefore it requires special attention. We here at the Israel Center have a mincha during the weekdays at 1:20 every single day throughout the year. We do not change that time for summertime or for wintertime. This way people know 1:20 is 1:20. They don't have to figure out when we daven. And we have, Baruch Hashem, a very nice group of people who come on a regular basis. We've got bankers and lawyers and dentists and the guys that give tickets for parking violations and a postman and a chef from the hotel and all kind of people. It's a lot of fun. The common denominator being, and of course people from our staff, the common denominator being these are people who want to daven mincha every day and who know this is the time that they go, 1:20 by 1:35. They're out. We start on time. We don't dilly-dally. And that's mincha. So, if you are lax on davening mincha, give it a try. Be a little bit more serious about it and do it in honor of Yitzchak Avinu and Rivka Imenu. She was on the spot when he was initiating this concept of davening in the afternoon. And this does not necessarily mean that he took a sitter and davened mincha in the field, but we borrow the idea of Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basadeh Lifnot Erev to have being the patron of Tfilat Mincha. It's a very special davening. And that's about it for Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Chaye Sarah. Enough time to tell you have a good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom. And remember, it's Rosh Chodesh benching. Rosh Chodesh Kislev will be Yom Chamishi. And one more word, Lehishtameach.